Amen. Good morning. Hallelujah. We've been talking about Mother's Day. Well, with some folks, that doesn't necessarily promote positive thoughts, right? For sometimes when we think about a Mother's Day, it doesn't feel very celebratory for various reasons. Sometimes you may have had some ideas about your own self based on maybe what your life circumstances have been, maybe what you believed about your birth or about your mother or father or how life went for you. And I want to encourage your hearts today with the Word of God. How many are open to hear what the Spirit of the Lord wants to say? Amen. Amen. It's good to be learners. And we want to open our hearts to that today. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be able to spend time together as a family. I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the gift of these precious lives that we have been able to gather together to celebrate you, to worship, and to hear good news today. And we give you praise and thanksgiving for all your faithfulness to us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. How does God look at you today? How does God see you? Let's look at Psalm 139 for a moment. This is what God says about you and about me. The word says, "You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb." So if an argument would ever want to come up in your head about not being known, not being seen, not being wanted, this scripture says, you formed me and you covered me. I want to encourage you today that God's with you, God's for you, he's not against you, he's always seen you. He's always known you. And he is not going to release his hold on you. Now that's good news, isn't it? That God loves us so much that he knew us even before we were out of the womb. If you haven't had the best relationship with your earthly mom, I want to encourage you today to be thankful for the space that she gave you. For however many weeks or however many months that she carried you, can we just thank God for the space that she gave you? So you're important, your life's important, and you're precious to God. And you are valuable and loved on such a deep level. Scripture goes on to say, I'll praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Would you just take a moment and do that today? Thank you, Lord. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am so fine. I am so intricate and delicately woven together. We need to praise God for that. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll praise you. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and my soul knows very well. Verse 15, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. And in your book, they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when there were not yet any of them, none of them. How precious also are your thoughts toward me, O God. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. How great is the sum of God's good thoughts toward you today. Can you give him some praise for that? Hallelujah. He's got good thoughts. I know it's kind of funny in ministry where, well, no, we tag team. I can get up and share. The body of Christ will have different parts that work together. Have you ever thought about in other arenas, if that were the case, we might not be quite as comfortable with it? Say you go into a dentist office and they'll say, sorry, the dentist is not here today, but his wife would be happy to pull your tooth for you. You go in to have some surgery. Sorry, the surgeon's not available today, but his wife would be happy to do that. Step in and do that surgery for you. But in the body of Christ, it's such a beautiful thing that we have differing gifts and different abilities, and God allows us to work together in the body. So I thank you for allowing Pastor Steve's feminine side to share with you today. And I want you to go with me to a story in 1 Samuel chapter 1. Now, this is a beautiful story that's also a little messy. Does anybody have a beautiful story in life, but it has some messiness in it? You better believe it. We've all been there. There's no perfect scenario, no perfect situation. Sometimes we're in the places we're in because of decisions we've made and the choices we've made. And other times we're in situations because of decisions and choices that somebody else has made. Would you agree with me? Well, here we have this certain man, and there's a lot of different names here, and I'm not going to even tell you that I'm going to necessarily pronounce them all correctly. But there was a certain man of this particular city in the mountains of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah. And his name meant that God has created, or God has taken possession. And his daddy's name meant, may he be compassionate. And his daddy's name meant, he's my God. Elkanah had a situation going on. He had two wives. Somebody think about that for a minute. Elkanah had two wives. So already we see that he's set up here for a challenge, right? I don't know about you, but I am not a fan of the sister wives idea. And here were some of the original ones. Elkanah had two wives. He had what I believe was wife number one, Hannah. Hannah's name meant favor. And then there was Peninnah. Now, the scripture doesn't talk about why Elkanah picked more than one wife, but it could have something to do with the fact that Hannah was unable to bear children, and so he possibly took the second wife in order to bear children to him. Her name was Peninnah. Next verse. This man, this tells you a little bit about his heart, went up from the city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts. How many thinks that's a good idea? How many thinks it's a good idea when the husband or the father figure in the family leads in worship? Super important, right? So that was a good thing, right? That was a good thing that he did. And it says, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there also. Verse 4. We're just going to go down through a number of verses, so stay with me. I'm going to try and unpack some things here for you today, okay? So, and whenever the time came for Elkanah to make an offering, he'd give portions to his wives. How many think that sounds like a good idea? Mm-hmm. It's kind, and receiving from him was a good thing. And he'd give portions to her and to all her sons and daughters. So that shows me that she's been bearing children for a little while. So this has been happening and going on for a little while. The family dynamics, you're going to see what's happening here in just a minute. But to Hannah. Everybody say, but to Hannah. But to Hannah, he'd give how much? A double portion. And why did he do it? Because he loved her. Now think about this for just a minute. Peninnah was getting a portion, but Hannah was getting double portion. What do you think that's doing in that family dynamic right there? Wait a minute. Something about this doesn't seem quite right. Something about this isn't quite fair to me. Have you ever had life circumstances when you're like, wait a minute, this is not what I signed up for. This is not the way this is supposed to look. This is not what I expected. I'm not liking it. So I believe that something happened then on the inside of Peninnah when this was going on. Wait a minute, I see. Yes, I'm the one over here. Excuse me, I'm being the child bearer over here. But you are loving her and giving her the double portion. And verse 6 tells what began to happen. And her rival provoked her severely. So now they're saying Hannah's rival. So there was a rivalry that was happening. Have you ever dealt with that? You don't raise your hand. Any kind of family rivalry that happens? Maybe parents that seemingly showed favoritism to a sibling, and you're going like, wait a minute, this isn't right. You know, or saying, oh, that's the favored child. You're the favored one. Well, I just want to remind each one of you today, you're the favorite child. You are the favorite child. And you say, well, how can that be? If there's many of us, how can I be the favorite child? Because there's only one of you. You are God's favorite you. You're God's favorite you. You're God's favorite you, and there's no one else like you. And you're fearfully and wonderfully created and filled with so much uniqueness and marvelous giftings. You are so, so precious. You're God's favorite. Would you say that to yourself? I'm God's favorite me. There's no one else quite like me. There's no one else quite like you. I'm favored. Hallelujah. I am favored. So Peninnah was having her own idea about what was going on. Hannah, I'm sure, was having her own idea what was going on. So she was getting these gifts, but she didn't have what she really wanted. And the rival. So now it goes from calling this woman by name, and it begins to describe her as the rival. So what did this rival do? She began to provoke severely. And that word, if you do some study on it, says her rival, the one that vexes, the one that shows hostility, the one that attacks, the one that distresses, the enemies, the one that harasses, and the one that troubles. And some of you may think, I've got some people like that in my life. The true adversary is the enemy of our souls. See, Scripture says that he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we sometimes think that the problem's coming because of that person. Really, the problem, the trouble, the harassing, the headache is coming from what is behind the person, or who is behind the person. So Hannah heard enough of this, and it made her miserable because she was provoked so severely. It meant to provoke her so bitterly, or to irritate her so much, like roaring, thunder, fretting, loud complaints. Do any of you do that? Oh, sometimes we don't do it outwardly, but boy, are we doing it in here. Or we're doing it in here. Do you ever have any mental gymnastics? If I could tell you what I really wanted to tell you right now. If I said what I really thank you. So a lot of times the struggle that we have on the inside of us doesn't always come out verbally. And boy, if it's not dealt with, it does affect us. But the Lord wants to heal. So she was provoked by this rival, and it made her miserable. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. Jesus said, in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly, to the full, till it overflows with nothing lacking and nothing broken. But the enemy wants to do what? Steal, to kill, and destroy. So we can gather from this little bit of information that this was potentially a very dysfunctional household. Some of you might be challenged with some unusual family dynamics. I just want to declare to you the grace of God is sufficient for you today. The enemy wants to try and come up against us. See, Hannah's name meant favored. I wonder how favored she was believing herself to be because the outward circumstances weren't matching up with her name. Verse 7, and so it was, year after year. Some of you have dealt with some mental gymnastics, some soul issues, year after year after year. And how do I know that? Because I think we've all could say, yep. Yep, we've had that in some form or fashion, where year after year after year, it says that when she went to the house of the Lord, that she was provoked. She was provoked. Can you imagine going year after year after year to the house of the Lord? See, what was meant to be a celebratory time probably ended up being a holiday from hell. Have any of you ever experienced that before? And you thought, boy, it would have just been easier not to do this at all. It would have been better if we just didn't have to do this whole family thing quite like this year after year after year. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And so that's where they were, and it happened year after year after year, and she was so provoked that then she began to respond to that provocation in this manner. What did it say that she did? She wept, and she did not eat. When we have internal struggles, sometimes it can be so deep. I am hearing so many situations where people are battling such darkness in their soul, such depression, such thoughts of hopelessness that it gets them to the point where they can't even eat anymore. Have you ever been to that place where you have cried and cried and cried and cried and you felt like, I can't cry anymore? Oh, there are enough tears left in me. You're in your closet by yourself weeping on the ground or in the shower so no one can hear you. I know some of you know exactly what I'm talking about today. And she did it. It was year after year after year. Somebody says Hannah needed to get freed up. See, God wants us freed up. So anything that has tried to harass us, provoke us, harm us, keep us bound up year after year after year, like it's always this way. I'm going around the same mountain again. Oh, brother, here comes this date on the calendar, and here I go again. Same old thought pattern, same old grief that rises up. Here's somebody's name, same anger that I always have every time that I hear them talked about, see their picture and just go, dear God, and that thing, that wounding's pressed on again. God wants us free. God wants us free. So as it was, year after year, she'd be provoked, angered, demoralized, made angry, troubled, vexed. Anything that you have vexing in your soul, Jesus is healer. So Hannah cried about it. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, it's time to quit crying about it. I think it's also a picture of our life without the Son. See, Hannah had a desire in her heart that hadn't been met for a really, really long time. Peninnah, the sister wife, obviously easily could produce naturally, and it happened a number of times for her because she had a number of children. But Hannah's heart's cry was, I want a son. And you realize that's the cry of everybody's heart. We cry out for the Son. We cry out for the Son of God. I need you, Jesus. Has that been a cry or a prayer of your heart? Help me, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Before I had come to know him as my Lord and Savior, I was trying to fill that longing with all kinds of other things. But the answer was in relationship with the Son. And so she's crying out, going, I want a son. I don't have a son. I need a son. And so she was thinking about all that she wanted but didn't have. And that is exactly the same ploy that the enemy uses against us. He wants to try and get you focused on what you think you don't have or what you think will never come to pass for you. When the truth of the matter is God is not a liar. And that his promises to you are yes and amen. His word is truth. The promises are available to you today. In verse 8, it says, Elkanah, her husband, said, why do you weep? Have you ever tried to figure it out with people before? Oh, man, sometimes people are a little harder to figure out. Sometimes they're complicated, and there's lots of levels of things have happened and mindsets and behaviors and things that have been there for a really long time. Do you realize that the behavior is not the root of the problem? That's only the fruit. And we just need to get to the root, the core issue of what's going on here. See, Peninnah's, I believe, one of her core root issues was that she felt unloved. And because she felt unloved, she felt jealous. And that didn't bring her soul any kind of pleasure. But for some reason, we find often in life that people that are hurt, hurt other people. God wants to heal the hurt. And Elkanah's trying to get her to think about this just a little bit differently. He says, why are you crying? Why won't you eat? Why is your heart sad? If you go to do a word study on that, the word is, why are you acting wickedly? And when you think of something that's wicked, wickered, it's something that's twisted and tangled. See, she wasn't thinking it the right way. And when we don't think it the right way, it messes up stuff on the inside of our soul, right? And so we want to be able to train ourselves to be thinking like the Word of God says. That's how we're transformed, when we let the truth of the Word change the way we think. That's repentance. I'm just changing my mind. I'm going to have a change of mind here on this. And he says, why are you acting wickedly? Why are you bringing calamity? Why are you bringing disaster? Why are you being disagreeable, displeasing, distressed, doing us harm, doing evil, suffering, treat me so badly, treat you worse? Hannah's heart issue was causing a ripple effect. But within that study, we treat ourselves the worst when we allow the angst, the bitterness. Maybe it comes in the form of unforgiveness. It's like, as the old saying goes, when we won't forgive, it's like we're drinking the poison, but hoping the other person's gonna die. It doesn't merit. It doesn't help. God wants you to release it today. He wants you to walk in freedom. And he goes on to ask her, am I not better to you than 10 sons? See, what he was trying to say here is like, you need to change the perspective. Change the way you're seeing things here. And he was trying to get her to focus on that which is good. And that's such an awesome word for us when we're discouraged, when we're frustrated, when we're angry, maybe when bitterness would try and rise up, to put our attention on the goodness of God. Pastor Steve teaches about praise being the highest form of faith, that when we are thankful, it takes our attention off that which is negative and puts it on the goodness of God. Can you take a moment today and think of something? Think of something that you can thank God for. Would you do that? Hallelujah. See, Hannah didn't even seem to recognize she was getting the double portion already. Maybe she wasn't recognizing the love that was coming from her husband towards her. She was only focusing on that which she didn't have. Next verse says, so Hannah arose. Hannah stood up. Hannah had a change of position. She arose after they finished eating and drinking. Are you to that place yet where you're like, I am so over being in this place. I'm over it. I think maybe that's what happened on the inside of Hannah. Like, I'm done with this. I'm not going to live this way any longer. Have you ever had conversations like that with yourself? I'm not talking about ending your life. I'm talking about ending the thought process. I'm talking about ending the attitude and the perception of the negative, ending that and choosing a better way. How many want to choose the best way in life? It's Jesus and it's His way. It's being led by the Spirit. It's taking all the goodness, all the gifts, all the blessings that have been so richly provided for us and taking them by faith and going like, you know what? If that's promised to me, then that's mine. And I'm taking it. So Hannah got up. Now Eli the priest was sitting by the seat of the doorpost in the tabernacle of the Lord, and Hannah was in bitterness of soul. And she prayed. That was such a good idea. If you're experiencing any kind of bitterness in your soul, take it to Jesus. You know, He is your best friend. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He said, Lo, I'm with you always. There's no running from His presence. He's there. Wherever you find yourself today, God's there and God's with you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? And what's ever going to separate us from the love of God? Not height, nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come. Nothing's going to be able to separate you from the love of God. And so she prayed, and she wept. And you know what? God sees, and He knows, and He understands. And you can just tell Him anything. And then there's some times when I just don't even have the words to say. And I'll just say, God, You know. Because He knows us so intimately and loves us so much. And so she prayed. And she made a vow to the Lord. Aren't you glad for the new covenant? Now, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we don't have to make promises to God. We just receive the promises that He's given to us. And we just come in alignment and agreement with that. And out of that will flow our obedience to His way, which is a beautiful way. But she, the old covenant, she made a vow to the Lord. And she says, if you'll indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and don't forget me, but will give me a male child, I'll give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli was watching her mouth. Have you ever prayed this? And it goes on to explain what was happening. She was in such depths of prayer and in her angst and her anguish and her desire and pouring it all out before the Lord. It says that her lips moved, but her voice wasn't even heard. And because she was praying in her heart, and Eli thought she was drunk. And he said to her, how long will you be drunk? Put your wine away from you. So he was rebuking her for what he thought was happening. And yet her response, she said, no, my Lord. I'm a woman of a sorrowful spirit. And what that really means is I am a woman that's oppressed. Hard, obstinate, stubborn. But I poured out my soul to the Lord. If you find yourself in a place where you go like, yes, that's me. You are looking at me. You are talking about me today. That is so what's been going on the inside of me. And it's not just women. This can happen within a man too, with wounds and griefs and traumas and rejection and all those things. So your heart can become sorrowful or difficult. She says, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. I think this is such a picture of coming to the end of herself. Like, I can't do this, God. I don't want to do this on my own. I can't do this anymore. I need you. I need your help in my life. Don't consider your maidservant a wicked woman, a useless, good for nothing woman. For out of the abundance of my complaint, out of the abundance of my great concern, out of the abundance of my meditation, out of the abundance of my occupation with this situation and provocation, my anger, my grief, my sorrow, my indignation, and my vexation, out of this grief and complaint, I've spoken, say it with me, until now. Until now. So whatever your situation is, it may have looked like all of that, but today and on this moment, you can say, until now. Now I'm making a decision of my heart, from my soul, to change the thinking from where I've been. She says, until now, I've spoken. And Eli answered and said to her, go in peace. Go, walk, come into shalom, that place of wholeness, that place of not lacking anything, that place of welfare, that place of security, that place of preservation, that place of peace that only comes through the Lord. And he says, go into that, and the God of Israel grant your petition, which you've asked of him. She was able to take that word from her man of God, which was the priest. Now we have a high priest, aren't you glad? And you can take the word of God. Hallelujah. And it says, she said, and came into agreement with what the priest said. Verse 18, she says, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way, and what'd she do? She ate, and say it with me, and her face was no longer sad. And I've heard it said, no more sad. When she received the word of God, when she came into agreement with what the high priest said, when it became alive on the inside of her, everything changed in her mind about it. And she didn't have that baby yet. She couldn't see it, but she knew. She knew, she received the word, and she knew the truth of that. And so she was able to take it, to receive it, and go on her way no more sad, because she knew that that promise was indeed going to come to pass. So whatever it is on the inside of you today, whatever it is that you're longing for in your heart, if it's a promise from God, you can take it. You can expect it no matter how many years have gone by, no matter how long it's been. You can take God at his word. You can believe and receive every precious promise that's been provided for you today. And so they rose up early in the morning and worshiped. Remember when we first started, it said that her husband would go up and offer sacrifice and worship. And now here it says it came that they rose up in the morning, early in the morning, and they worshiped and returned and came to the house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And it came to pass. Say that with me. And it came to pass. In the process of time, that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked for him from the Lord. Praise the Lord. Her face was no longer sad, meaning that she didn't return back to that place anymore. She didn't have it on repeat in her heart and mind anymore. She didn't say it again. She didn't reiterate it again. It was finished because she received the promise. Hallelujah. And so if you go on, I'm not going to read down through the rest of it, but not only did that baby be born, not only did she yield that child to the service of the Lord, just like she had promised she would do, she was able to do it, if you read through chapter 2, with rejoicing. And every year when they went up, now the whole situation had changed for her. And so when they went up together, worshiping the Lord. And every time in chapter 2, and I think it's right around verse 20, 21, that when they went up, the priest would bless them when they would come up every year. And it goes on to say in verse 21 that the Lord visited Hannah, so she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. And we recognize that as grace. Grace. So God's a God that heals. God's a God that restores. And God's a God that multiplies. Would you stand today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to lead us in the altar
time? Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Woo! Amen. Man, what a great word this morning. You know, God is that God of healing and grace. I love number 5, grace, and the number 5 in Hannah's life. And grace is in your life today. Praise the Lord. Would you just raise your hand with us? We like to do this every Sunday, but raise your hand with us today. We're going to make a few confessions today and say, Father, thank you today that Jesus, grace, is with me today, that he's already forgiven us and received us. And we thank you for that. And we declare that today. Thank you, Lord. There's no bitterness in my soul. There's no regret. But God, your favor is upon my life. I declare that today. I speak it forth. Thank you, Lord, for your favor surrounding me like a shield. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a mom, you're a lady today, we have a little gift for you. Let's give them a hand. Give God some praise, amen. We have a little gift for you today, so we want you to go out with a little flower that I picked for you this morning.